Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right. Hey, guys. We're back. Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. Listen, we're getting a lot of emails, like 500 thousands of emails, millions coming in about not mentioning the character names with their real names. And we're going to fix that. So we've had Sally Struthers, and she played Babette. We've had Yannick Truesdale, as you recall, he played Michelle. And Rose Abdu played Gypsy, as we all know, the lovely Gypsy.
Don't reveal who we have today yet.
No, I'm not. No, I know. I'm not.
First,
gonna...
they want to know. And you know what they want to know.
What do they want to know? They want to know, like,
who the heck are we?
Oh, and we've got the illustrious podcast producer Amy Sugarman, and we also have Danielle Romo, another producer on the podcast who has never, also like me, has never seen an episode. So we're going to be experiencing her point of view as a non-watcher who's been converted like me as a watcher. And I'm quickly becoming obsessed, by the way. So how about you?
Same here. I'm very much enjoying this show. Yeah, so I'm sorry for all the people I made mad, but no, I really, really love this show and I'm excited to follow along and really, you know, get into this.
Isn't
I'm super
show?
Excited.
Isn't it a great show?
Fantastic.
I can't believe how good it is.
So good.
Why didn't it's I watch? So I didn't have time. And we'll go. Why didn't I watch it? I mean, when I was younger. And then we have our young gun here. And Riley, please pronounce your last name.
Pelousis.
So that's our team. That's our podcast team of experts and amateurs, of which I count myself one, because I'm becoming this obsessed fan along with Danielle. I am so obsessed at this point because I've watched 3 episodes and I'm just hitting myself in the head with a hammer now. Like, why didn't you watch the show? And now I'm going to tell you why I didn't watch a show. You know why I didn't watch a show? Listen, and here's, we've been getting plenty of, emails about this, like, why hasn't he watched the show? It's not believable. Of course he watched the show. No, I didn't. And do you know why? Because the shooting days on set are 12 to 16 hours, sometimes longer. So when you're in that for even 3 days a week, you don't have time to do anything else. You have time to sleep and you have time to eat and you have time to maybe take a shower. And then you're back at it again. And so over time, you develop very quickly a short-term memory muscle. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger because you got to flush the day's dialogue that you learn to make room for the new stuff. And there's a lot of dialogue. So it's just a function of clearing out and learning new stuff and not really honestly knowing where you are in the episode or in the entire series. So that's why the director is there. One of the director's main functions on a TV series and on a film is to let the actor know where they are in the story in the episode and where they are in the story in the season and in the whole sort of overall story. So he's giving you a macro and a micro view at the same time. Sometimes
they blow it, which we'll talk about today. Yeah. There's a mistake in this episode 3.
Really?
We'll get to that.
I'm intrigued. Yeah. But anyway, so that's why I've never seen it, because there was never any time. And
if you work at the ice cream store, do you eat ice cream?
If you make the sausage, do you want to eat it? You're smelling the sausage all day. This is the analogy I use. I hope it isn't off-putting, but it's the best I can do for right now. So, and then we had a dialogue coach named George Bell, who they were going to let go, I think, after season 3 or 4. And I went into Amy and I said, we have to have this guy. Without this guy, we're not going to be able to do this dialogue at the speed you want it, because he comes in the morning in the trailer. And the first thing they ask me when I get there is like, what do you want for breakfast? And then I say, where's George? Bring him in. And George comes to your trailer and you run the scenes that you're going to do that day over and over and over and over and over again until you're just bulletproof and you can't possibly make a mistake.
What was he good at? Like going fast with it?
Yes. But first of all, he's a really good actor. So he understands the scene. He understands what it takes. And he's a great reader. He's a great scene partner to be with. So I'd love to have him on the show because he's such a great guy and he's a really good friend. But if you didn't have George Bell, you don't have that show. I mean, he was really, really important. And, he helped everybody with their dialogue and with their speed. And because you walk on that set and things seem a lot faster on the set and you know, you gotta know your stuff. So that was what it was all about for 9 months when you're shooting, is knowing your lines and knowing them so cold that you can't make a mistake. You don't have time to make a mistake. And knowing them at that pace, and it's a very fast pace. So no, I did not have time to watch the show. I didn't have the strength. It's like you need your sleep to recharge and flush out all that stuff. So that's crazy.
Is that
shooting
why
schedule.
Some things are harder for you to remember too, because you're using your short-term memory and then you purged it.
Yeah.
So now going back, you're was I there?
But it comes back pretty quickly when I see it and I go, oh yeah, wow. And a lot of times I'm watching and in these first couple of episodes, I don't have a lot of dialogue and episode 3, I'm just sort of
interesting like, hat. Interesting hat.
That's about it. I got a couple of lines. Give the gimp a couple of lines over there, you know, let's make him feel good.
You did have the denim shirt, which I liked.
Which was my favorite. It was my favorite shirt, and they never used it again, I don't think.
Denim on denim. Oh, is this the only time we'll see denim on denim?
Maybe there was a second time, maybe. And I would go to Brenda Mabin, and who's the head wardrobe mistress, and just, you know, just great at her job. And I said, "What about the denim? I love the denim. You know, it's like I'm wearing it today. It's not
I liked the denim.
It's not that shirt. In honor of episode 3,
we should do a denim versus flannel poll, maybe."
I like that idea.
Yeah, it was like a flannel versus a denim, like, you know, wrestle off MMA thing, and the denim lost. Denim got knocked out.
The denim was hot. The denim was good.
I like the denim. I mean, I wear the denim. I wear the
flannel. It was a nice light denim with a dark denim.
I thought it was gorgeous. Gorgeous denim. It's gorgeous. So that's the explanation. It's all short-term memory. It's not you're in a fog on a set. A lot of times you don't know where you are in the story. And we had great directors, and the director on this one, Leonard Nimoy, Spock's kid.
I know, Adam Nimoy.
Adam Nimoy directed this episode.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
And he was great. He was just great at it, you know? And he grew up in the business, so how could he not be great? He learned from his dad, who was a brilliant guy, who was also a multi-hyphenate, you know, did the poetry and music. And
Leonard Nimoy directed my favorite Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek 4.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So Adam Nimoy was the director of this episode.
Yes.
And did he stand out as a particularly good director?
They were all good. They were just good in different ways. You know, their personalities varied. So some people were a little more chatty and others were a little more reserved, and some people like to shoot, you know, 30 takes of the master and drive everybody crazy, and others didn't, you know, or just shoot 20. So, but the show demanded that many takes because the editors wanted, and I'm facing that right now with putting a music video together for a single I'm about to release, is that the editor doesn't have enough footage. So I'm going to have to go down to the beach and shoot more footage because there's not enough to cut to. And I thought, you know, the professional that I am, I would know that. I screwed them up, man. They called me and goes, "You're a pro. Why didn't you give me enough footage or enough angles?" So anyway, so that's really why they shoot so much. They just want a lot of options. Anyway, so you're on a set and you're an actor, and all you should be thinking about is the scene and nailing your dialogue at the pace, because the only note we would really get from directors is, can you go a little faster? I said, "It's 3 a.m. No, I can go faster in my car going home, but you really want to?" He goes, "Just faster, 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 funny." Okay. And so you try, you really, really try. And that's it. Or listen, you're here in this scene and this is where we are in the story. And this is the pitch is this, and the tone is this. And that's it. That's all you get, which is all you really need. So no time to watch the episodes. Even if I was interested in, even if I liked watching my own work, which I do not, I loathe it. I still wouldn't have had time to do it anyway. So there you go. That's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, we're glad you didn't, because here we are now.
Yes, exactly.
Kill me now.
It was the one thing. It was my one advantage. Ignorance leading to a podcast. Total complete.
Amy, that was really good, by the way.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, let's do it. I mean, listen, everybody, you are going to be thrilled with our next guest. Very, very, very special guest, a dear friend of mine. And I think it's going to be a good way to apologize to everyone out there for all the screw ups so far, but we'll figure it out. Anyway, we'll be back after this. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries.
This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. This is Scott Patterson. I am an All In podcast, and we have a very, very, very special guest today joining us, and it's going to make the fans very, very happy because you emailed us, you DM'd us about this particular guest, and we're delivering him, and you're gonna know, we're gonna get into it in a couple of seconds here, but let me tell you a little bit about this guy. You know him for his role in Gilmore Girl, but he has several other television guest show appearances, along with playing Kraglin in the Marvel films, Guardians of the Galaxies and Avengers. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sean Gunn. Sean was born in St. Louis, Missouri. He was the youngest of six children. He graduated from DePaul University's theater program, the Goodman School, 1996. He's married to Natasha Halevy, who is an American actress and film director. And his next project is starring as the Weasel in The Suicide Squad in theaters August 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the versatile Sean Gunn.
Hello.
Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Where's the applause? I'm used to the applause for that.
There we go.
It's very nice to be here, Scott. It's long overdue. It's nice.
It's good to see you again. Last time I saw you was in, where were we, Charlotte?
I honestly have no idea. I remember seeing you.
It was a convention.
And I remember sitting. I remember like sitting and hang. I remember hanging out, yeah. But I have no idea what city that was.
It was in Virginia.
Charlotte sounds right.
Was it Charlotte, North Carolina? But it was that convention. That was the last convention we did.
The thing about conventions is I've now done. I'm over 50 on conventions, and I can't place cities anymore. Right, so I don't know. Right, like, right. So like, I remember like details about being there, but I don't remember where we were.
I remember Berlin distinctively. I don't think you were there. Were you there in Berlin?
No,
I remember Berlin because it was Berlin.
And I would love to go to Berlin. Actually,
it was great.
Shout out to all the Berlin fans.
It was so much fun. I'll be there.
At some point. And we're starting up again, I think. I think I'm actually going to start doing, you know, there's a whole whatever year and a half from all of the COVID nonsense.
So I know you're working on something now. You can't really talk about it. That's fine. We don't have to talk about
that. That's true. That'll be soon. Although I did, you know, I have Suicide Squad coming out in August, which is cool. So
that's something.
Although that's another... that's another, you know, now I've been dipping my toe into doing this, like the CGI work. So I play this character, it's full CGI. So full, like they put me in the mocap suit, and everything you see the character do is something that I actually did.
Right.
So it's me, but it's a weird thing. Being an actor in 2021 is a weird thing.
Yeah. But it's got to be exciting being in films this large with such a massive fan base and doing that high tech kind of stuff. It's got to be thrilling, though.
Yeah. It's cool. It's it was weird. I was just sort of going over it. It's weird how things work out. So my brother James, you know, is a writer, director, and we were both. And around 2012, we both were at this like low point in our careers where we thought we had it made a decade earlier, you know, like I'm on a TV show. He was like writing movies. He wrote like a couple of hit movies. And then one thing after another happened. And after Gilmore Girls, I just... like things dried up. I did this other TV show that went away right away. And then I did this like big commercial campaign that was weird. And then I just kind of had a couple of years of crickets.
Right.
And like, oh, I thought everyone was paying attention to this like magnificent work I was doing. And yet nobody knows. It seems like nobody knows who I am.
But things were right.
You know, things were really slow and the same thing was going on with my brother. He was like, oh gosh, I'm a director, but I can't get, it's like movies are still polarized now that there's either like these huge tentpole movies or these tiny movies that are impossible to get funding for. And he's like, what am I going to do? I don't want to direct videos. I don't want to write for video games. And then like Guardians came and sort of, I won't say fell into his lap because he works, you know, so hard to get that job. But when he got that job, he's like, okay, here's something I can bring you on board to come do. Nice. And then it was like that was the runway for the next, you know, for what's been the last decade of my career.
But that's my attorney told me after Gilmore, you're going to get two more shots. And that's how it works. You get three strikes. So if you're on a hit series, or even if it's a mild hit, you're going to get another offer to do another series. And if that doesn't go, you get one more, hopefully, and then but three, and you're out. So the same thing happened to me with Aliens in America. That went a year. And then The Event, which went a year as well. And that was it. So by about 2011, 2012, I was crapped
out. Your attorney's dark, man.
No. Just very, very experienced.
What if instead of saying you get three shots and you're out, he said, play the long game, Scott. You've got, you know, like it's it could go anyway. And you just, anyway.
I think they probably had a, they probably had a meeting saying, well, you know, it's, how long is Patterson going to bring in the Bucks? You know, so I don't know. Tell give him the 3-shot speech and maybe it'll get more jobs. I don't know. But no, that's traditionally how he explained it historically. This is because he's, you know, an old, you know, older lawyer at the time, and he was a legend and a partner in a huge firm, the whole thing. He said, this is traditionally.
I love those old school guys. Right. I got my, I've been with my manager for like 20 years, and he like made his, he got his chops. Like he used to work for Susan Smith, who was a, who was a,
very respected, you know,
who's since passed, you know, but like, you know, represented like actors, like, you know, like
New York
Brian Dennehy, you know, like, and awesome. And I love that. I love having some sort of connection to that. I like to think of myself as a throwback, as an actor, you know? And so like, I like having some connection to that past.
It's, so let's get into how, what were you doing right before you got Gilmore?
You know what's funny about Gilmore is that I never thought that that was going to be the show that like people would know me. Like I was, you know, I was a character actor. I'd gone to acting school and felt, you know, certain ways about acting school, but then came out to LA and I started like booking really well. Like I learned that I had pretty good comic timing and I understood sitcoms really well. So like I booked at a really high rate and I was like, I was arrogant. I was like, I got this, you know, like I'm like people want me to do their shows. And I did Gilmore Girls and it was just a one. It was a co-star. It wasn't even a guest star. I did a co-star as the DSL installer on Gilmore Girls. But I was booking other things at the time and doing other shows. And then I remember I got the call to like, hey, Gilmore Girls booked you, wants to book you again. And I was like, what? I was a, you know, I was a DSL installer. It doesn't make sense. Now, I've since learned the story. You know, over the years, I've since learned from Amy that like essentially what happened was they did another episode where there was another delivery guy,
right?
And they saw some actors and Amy said to Jamie Rudofsky and Mark Casey, our wonderful casting directors, it's like, no, find me a guy like that guy who played the DS. I want a guy like that. And Jamie, bless her heart, you know, I will always do any favor that Jamie Rudofsky asks of me. Said to Amy, why don't you just hire that same guy again? Right. Like, and Amy was like, huh, that's an interesting idea. And,
but you didn't have a name in that episode, not to interrupt you, but you didn't have a name in that episode. Cause Lorelai said, go to Yannick, you know, to Michelle, go with that guy and deliver the swan. That there's a guy over there. She didn't call you Mick. She didn't call you Kirk. What was that about?
That was the second. The second episode was the swan delivery.
Right.
So the first episode I did was the DSL.
Right. I know.
Where they called me Mick, which Amy forgot that she gave me a name.
Right. So you were supposed to be a different guy.
I didn't know. And at that point in my career, I didn't ask. I didn't want to ever do anything to rock the boat to not to like upset the apple cart of the job that I was doing.
I had to learn that the hard way.
A very basic question. You know,
I learned that like, the hard way.
If I heard it over again, I would have said, hey, is this the same guy that I played in the first episode? Or is it a different guy? But I'm like, I was just happy to have him work.
That's all it takes. And he's a troublemaker. Exactly. You don't want to hire him. Oh, God. Oh, funny. Yeah.
So I and then you know, and then it kind of became this like running gag. And you know, I know that Amy's dad was a character actor who would work multiple times on the same show, and she thought that gag was kind of funny. Right. And so I took a lot of work away from a lot of actors because anytime they would need a role that was like normally this would be a day player where we see a new guy who's like the clerk and the in the beauty shop or like working in the flower store or whatever. Uh-huh. We're just going to hire this same guy and he'll come back and he'll just do it over and over and over again. But the funny thing for me is that like the whole time I thought this gag is going to wear thin and every show I do is going to be my last. Uh-huh. Like I thought that the entire first season of Gilmore Girls, I honestly thought every show I do is going to be the last time I do this show. Right. And I thought, but it's fine. I'm killing it. I'm like doing, you know, I'm doing Third Rock from the Sun and I'm doing I'm like booking other like roles. And I'm like, I'm going to be great. I'm going to land my big role on something else and then I'll be fine. And then I think there's an episode of Gilmore Girls, the bass, it's called Atisket Atasket is the name of the episode. Mm-hmm. And it's where they everybody in the town like makes a basket and they bid on the baskets. Mm-hmm. And Suki makes this amazing basket for Jackson.
Right.
But they get into a fight. And so in defiance, he doesn't bid on the basket. Kirk bids on the basket and gets it. And then they make up. Jackson has to go back and like tell and like try to like bid for and like try to buy back the bat. It's whatever.
Right.
Gilmore Girls fans, you know what I'm talking about. And that episode always sticks out to me because that was the episode that when I did it, I was like, oh, I'm going to be on this show for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like they gave my character had a little bit of a backstory in that episode. He was. And it's crazy to look back and be like, that was like 20 episodes in. I probably should have known before then. But I was like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing now. I'm playing this character on this show.
Right.
And then how the rest went.
Sure.
You were there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did 137 episodes. You were, you know, an integral part of this thing, for God's sake, a series regular.
Yeah.
How do you even explain the character of Kirk?
Well, I'm fortunate that I read this great piece in The Atlantic. I should shout out to the writer's name, but I don't remember her name off the top of my head. But it explained it way better than I ever could. Where she talked about Kirk as a man child. And you know, I always looked at him as being a guy who like obeyed the rules at all costs. But would also duck them when necessary. Like, I don't know how I thought of it, but when you think of Kirk as like a 9-year-old in a grown man's body, it all adds up.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like when you think of him as a, it's like, oh, this is like a little kid who both, he's like, he'll lie if he needs to, but not in a bad way, only because maybe he thinks he's not going to get caught.
Right.
And, and yeah, I think Kirk is, you know, a grown man who lives alone in his mother's basement. Like, what do you?
And very, very entrepreneurial at the same time.
Yeah, it works. Everything, like, he does what's expected of him all the time. You know, like, whatever you expect of me, like, I will do it. And also, I have to do it or I'll get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure psychoanalysts could could say a thing or two about Kirk.
So how playing all those different characters and all those hysterically funny setups, I mean, they really set you up. How'd you keep a straight face through all of it? And especially the hot dog. I mean, how on earth?
Oh God, the hot dog. I remember I said recently to Amy that I was like, I wore a hot dog suit on the show and I like to think that the character wore a metaphorical hot dog. Like that's who he is in his essence. He's just the guy who wears the hot dog suit. Like you just know that you look at him and you're like, someday I'm going to see this guy in a hot dog suit. I don't know, man, you know how playing comedy, you're not trying to be funny
right.
when you do comedy.
Right.
You know, it's like you play this, you play the truth of it and the words carry you. So the writing on the show was great. And Kirk's never, you know, Kirk's never trying to be funny. Never. Like, never trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And so I just, like, I just play that. I'd like try to like think about what he's thinking about.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But God, some of those things.
Who are some of your biggest influences as an actor? Did you watch a lot of Buster Keaton? Did you watch a lot of the the physical comedians?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that because yes, Buster Keaton is the first person that I would say.
Yeah.
And particularly for Kirk. For Kirk, the actors that I think of all the time are Buster Keaton and a lesser known actor named Eddie Bracken, who was a Preston Sturges guy. Right. He was in Hail the Conquering Hero and Miracle of Morgan's Creek. And he was just this weird. And I honestly, I think in some ways, I think the way I booked the role was that I was a fan of those types of movies and stuff. I think way back to when I was the DSL installer, I read that scene and I knew like Front Page and His Girl Friday and like Bringing Up Baby and those old like film comedy, like the Howard Hawks, Preston Sturges movies. And I read it. I'm like, oh, this is that. This is like,
right.
That's how this plays is like, it's like those comedies. And I think that that's what got me there.
And did Amy confirm that? I mean, did you have those conversations with Amy about those films and those characters influencing Kirk?
No, not until years, many years later.
Right.
Like, so at the time, and I love Amy so much. Like she's such an amazing talent and has such an amazing brain. But it was such great synergy to me for like actor and writer that she confirmed what I thought by writing for me. You know what I mean? I never had to ask her, hey, is this what you're thinking? Like I would get the next scene that she would write and it would confirm what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I just knew from how she wrote the character that like, yeah, I'm on the right track. I'm doing it right.
Right. Right. Right.
Which is the greatest, man. I miss it. I feel like at the time, doing Gilmore Girls was like it was, it, you know, it was awesome and I loved doing it, but I was also an actor in my 20s and like was, you know how it is. You're wondering what's the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is great, but what's the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I now feel like I'm chasing that dragon a little bit of like, oh man, being on a show where you have a writer who understands what your strengths are, right, and is writing to those strengths.
Right.
Like,
how's it going to get better than that? Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, your brother, I think, has,
I've been really lucky,
the same kind of brain and the same kind of talent. Because that
he, I mean, does. I've been really lucky in that way.
Yeah. Those are extraordinarily, well-drawn characters and very funny films. And I think, you know, the humor in those films and the lightness of those films is what carries them. And very few directors have that ability. Very few writers have that ability. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Give me the top three Kirk moments. I mean, was there one specific moment with Kirk that really stands out for you? And if it was, what was it? And is there a top three?
I can do this. I won't say the one that I already mentioned, but for me personally, that basket scene that I talked about earlier with Jackson is the one that sticks out more than any other, because it was the one that solidified what I understood about the character. But it's not the ones that I love. I'll count them down. I loved playing Jesus and the Festival of Living Art. It was so fun. And I don't remember what your interaction was with that episode, but it was a beast, man.
Right.
It was like, and if I'm not incorrect, the only Emmy that show ever won, right, was for makeup on that, right, on that episode, which was well deserved, by the way, although, yep, you know, awards are stupid, but I don't know. Maybe we should have won some more Emmys, but whatever.
About 50 of them.
But like that Festival of Living Art episode, it was just so fun and it was so mammoth. And it was such a like, and I loved the whole thing of Kirk just like getting into character and being like, hey man, I'm method. I'm like Jesus and I'm running with this. Oh man, it's so much fun. I would also say probably the cat Kirk episode, mm-hmm, where Kirk gets a cat and names him Kirk. I love cats and have always had, I've had cats as a grown man. And I always wonder if Amy and Dan knew that and thought that that was funny and were kind of like making fun of me on that episode. Right. But that one definitely sticks out. But the best one you were part of, the best episode ever to me was when I played Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof with the 9-year olds. So it's a bunch of 9-year olds and Kirk, which Kirk's in his element. As I said, he's with 9-year olds. He's like, I'm comfortable here. This is my, these are my people, you know? And then there's that scene where I sing, Do You Love Me? With that little girl. And that's my favorite scene in the history of the show. Right. Where you and Luke and Lorelai are like watching each other across the stage from the wings of the stage. And it's like this beautiful moment. It's like a really romantic and touching moment between you guys. While literally between you, the most absurd thing you could possibly imagine is happening, which is a grown man singing Do You Love Me to a 9-year-old girl and playing it. And we're playing it straight. I remember asking the great Ed Herman about that scene and being like, Ed, I usually know what to do, and I'm not sure how to play this. Am I good? Should I go for the laugh, or should I do it as well as possible? And he's like, and he gave, of course, the perfect advice, which was like, just do it, just go for it, just like sing the song,
right?
You know,
right.
Which to me, like, I'm feeling something very deep there, but it's hilarious right. when you watch it. It's ridiculous,
right?
And there's all to me that's like. The alchemy of the show comes together in there's like perfect synergy in that scene.
And there you are again, offering the ridiculous absurdity of life in the first kiss, and you run through naked with a pillow covering. There you were. Yeah.
I love. Yeah. Right. First kiss and I run through naked. Oh man.
All right. So here's a question. Did Kirk love Lorelai? Did you love her?
You know, there's an episode early on where Kirk asked Lorelai out on a date, and I thought it was going to be a big episode for me. Not because I thought something was going to happen,
right.
But I thought that like, oh, this will be cool. The audience will like feel for Kirk, and like it'll be like heartbreaking and kind of sweet. And I look back on it, and it's kind of creepy.
But that's the point, right? That's kind of the point.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, you know, I honestly think it's that it's more messed up than him loving her. I think that he wants her approval. It's right. like, right. it's like, I don't know, you get into that psychological stuff, but
right. mother, it's but a motherly like, thing.
Like, he wants Lorelai to say he's a good boy, you know?
Jesus.
Sorry to go there. But I mean that, like, the way you would a dog.
Right,
not,
right.
You know, like, not anything more nefarious than that. I don't think, you know...
Mind of Kirk,
he wants approval,
right?
Kirk
exactly
wants approval. He wants you to say, hey, great job, like that was really, you know. And they could have learned that, like Luke could have learned that probably, you know, like if he really wanted to get Kirk away from him from hanging out at the diner, just be like, Kirk, man, you look great, you're really killing it, you're like and I think Kirk would be like, oh my gosh, wow, that's awesome, like That's how you would win that guy over, I think.
So how did Kirk feel about Luke?
Oh, I do think Kirk loved Luke. I mean, Luke is the ultimate man. So like Luke is the is the ideal of what a man should be. And so, like, you know, I do think that again, it's like Kirk's that Luke's approval would be the best thing he could possibly get. You know, I don't know. I have to go back and watch some of that stuff.
What is the ultimate Kirk job that you gave yourself in an entrepreneur? You started companies, you tried many different things. What was your favorite job that you did?
Well, there's a difference between what's my favorite and what's the ultimate, because my favorite was the one that was easy for me. So, like, I loved announcing the hockey game, because it was like you just sit and make jokes for, you know, for like 2 days. You just sit down with a microphone and do comedy. But you know, I think honestly that I got to go back to the hot dog suit. It's like wearing a hot dog suit and passing out. That's the ultimate. That's the true ultimate Kirk job.
Yeah,
it's like passing out flyers for a hot dog place wearing a hot dog suit.
It brought out unexpected joy on the set all day, even though you were sweating your brains out. It was probably 100 degrees.
Oh God,
that
and that
day.
Thing was heavy, man.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, it was bad. They didn't even have pads in it. It was like two pieces of plywood that just rested on my shoulders, holding that whole thing up. That was one of the worst. I had some bad days on that set, that was one of the worst. I also did the plexiglass box that was suspended over the street, where they were like, you know, it takes a forklift to get you in and out of that thing. So between setups, do you mind just staying in there? And like, so I,
the guy's on a cigarette break. He doesn't want to come back. And just
I was like,
there.
I'm fine. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just sitting in that box. I'd love a photo of that, of me on the Warner Brothers lot, of that plexiglass box in the middle of the night with like that, you know, that sad looking man sitting, hovering above
the glamour of Hollywood.
So, you know, show business. Show must go on.
It's mostly that, and then once a year, if you're lucky, they send a limo to take you somewhere. So here's a question: what do you remember? Because mine was a very distinctive memory. But what do you remember about your first day on set?
Oh gosh, my first day on set.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't remember a whole lot from that, because I thought I was in and out. I thought I was like, you know, I'm just like coming in, I'm going to do my thing, I'm going to leave, I'll never see any of these people ever again.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was not nervous, because I always get a little bit nervous if I'm not 100% on the lines.
Yeah.
But I worked the audition so many times that like I already knew the lines backwards and forwards. And so like, I remember like wanting to do it fast and like go home. I mean, that's the least sexy story you could possibly imagine. But like the thing that sticks out for my first day is like, I'm going to do this fast. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be super impressed by the awesome job that I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go home and I'm never going to see these people again.
And you did, that was in LA. That wasn't in Toronto, was it?
Yeah, no, that was in LA.
Right.
So I was on the first episode after the pilot. So you guys shot the pilot in Toronto, right?
DSL.
And,
yeah, Toronto, yes. Yes.
And then I was on the first episode. And a funny story, my agent at the time wanted me to pass on the audition because it was a co-star, not a guest star.
Right.
And I had just done a couple of guest stars.
Right.
So like they're like, we're really trying to establish you as a guy. And you know, for the audience, if you don't know the difference, it's like a co-star, you know, is maybe is going to be one day, maybe has a line or two, you know, whereas a guest star is more like an actual supporting guest star for the episode. You know, big difference in money, difference in day, number of days and all that kind of stuff.
Credit.
And I just come off doing like a couple of guest stars on sitcoms.
Right.
And so when the audition came in, my agent was like, we recommend that you pass on this because we want to establish you as a guest star caliber guy and that you're not going lower than that.
Right. Right. Makes sense. You know, they're doing their job.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
it makes sense. But my manager at the time, many years ago, Gordon had been friends with Mara Casey in Chicago and said, and Mara's the cast was one of the casting directors of the show and said, Mara's an old friend. And I, you know, your agents don't want you to do it, but I think it would be cool to like introduce yourself to all these people and to like get it done. And I did, fortunately, I did the thing that any actor I would recommend now should do, which is I said, send me the scene and let me read it. And if I want to do it, then I'll audition.
Right, sure.
And if I don't, if it looks like something that would be cool, like and fun.
Yeah.
And I read the scene. I'm like, this scene's funny. Right, it's like, it's good.
Right.
You know, like, so like, of course I'll go in on the audition.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's weird how that stuff works out. Like how you go back and like, how does.
Because I was a guest star on the pilot. I wasn't a series regular. And that was that was a quick, easy audition. And I was like second of the day. I had a third one. I was running late and I was like, let's get through it. And got the job, shot it. We kind of figured it was just really a heat check with Lauren, you know, because the pilot opens in the diner. It ends in the diner. And so we figured, okay, so this is kind of a thing of the show. And they're looking for the right guy. So they offered two episodes. And we said no, which caused me great stress. And then they came back with four. And, you know, my manager recommended no. I said, come on, it's four guest star episodes. And she was like, she goes, I'm going to call Gavin Pallone and get you a contract. And I said, okay. And she did it. She did it.
Wow.
She got me a 6-year deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
And which shows you, first of all, it's smart. You know that, like sometimes your reps know, they understand what's going on.
Right.
And they knew that they knew this is the guy we want to do this.
But it's a money, but it's like, do they have the money? So let's keep them coming back on the cheap because that's all we really have in the kitty.
And at that point, correct me if I'm wrong. So at that point in your career, you're like, you did like a famous episode of Seinfeld, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The
sponge.
What do you call it? The sponge.
The sponge.
Yeah. And like, what's going on for you in your career at that point?
Nothing.
Are you like, yeah.
I mean, just auditioning really well,
yeah.
like killing it and everything and always
being close to stuff.
Right. Always being the bridesmaid and look, and he killed it. We're just going to go another way, you know? And it's like, he's our choice, but the director is going to go with the friend of a friend. And you know, it's always that. No, I had nothing really. I mean, I did a Will and Grace. I did a Seinfeld. I was kind of like that kind of go-to guy. I did a Fired Up with Sharon Lawrence. I had a recurring on that, which was great.
Uh-huh.
So I was developing a little bit of a reputation in the business as like a reliable sort of guy to come on and, you know, do my thing. And, but no series stuff, no deals, no studio deals, no network deals, you know, just like,
that was back in the day when there would be like you'd meet people who are like, oh, I have a, you know, I don't know if you had friends who like I had friends who didn't work, but were like under.
Yeah. They had holding deals.
Holding deals.
Yes.
Right. That's what they're called.
And they used to give them out. And then when the writers went on strike, they wiped all those deals out and they stopped giving them out.
Those were the days.
And we got a holding deal after year seven, negotiating in year six to go into year seven. And we had a holding deal
in case the series got canceled. And thank God we did that. I had a great manager. I really did. So we got a holding deal, which got me on Aliens in America, because they had to either pay me or put me on a series, and they didn't want to pay me to do nothing. Right.
Yeah,
but they
right.
pay you to sit and wait. So I was on this wonderful, wonderfully written series, comedy series. But anyway, so here's a question. Who from the cast?
Okay.
Have you remained closest to?
Keiko.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's not counting John Cabrera, who played Brian
right.
on the show,
right.
who was in one of the members of the band.
Sure.
But Cabrera was my friend before he did the show.
Gotcha.
Didn't get the job through me, by the way. It was coincidental that he ended up, but like we were roommates in college. So he's one of my, he was a year behind me in college. We were close friends. We've been like, you know, the best of friends for, oh my God, how old am I? Almost 30 years. But he doesn't count because we were already friends.
Right.
But Keiko's the one I see the most. I just saw her doing. She came to my wedding and I just saw her doing we were doing a reading for this cool thing that she's working on. I won't mm-hmm. say any more about that. But mm-hmm. And we talk, and I see her when I can. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And honestly. She's like the only, like I see you, you know, like mm-hmm. we've seen each other at conventions, and you and I will text from time to time mm-hmm. about various things and like whatever. I saw Yanni years ago. The coolest thing to me has been that like I became friends with Amy and Dan after the show. Like mm-hmm. when we were on it, I was afraid of Amy, you know? And you know, and she was my boss and like, I wanted to please her. Like right. I wanted her to think that I was doing a good job and continue to employ me. And I thought she was great and everything. And I liked her. I would, you know, but it wasn't until after the show was over, really, that we became friends as like actual human beings, I think. Mm-hmm. And so now when anytime I go to New York, I will try, you know, to have dinner with Amy and Dan, you know, every time. And we, you know, we'll email from time to time. And I also like look back now as a 47-year-old man, what I didn't understand as in my 20s, just knowing that like, man, she was like a 30, however old, like in her mid 30s, a female dealing with all these dudes mm-hmm. who think that they're the smartest people in the room mm-hmm. and trying to trying to sway her off of what her vision is. And yeah. she was like, no, I know better than you do how this stuff works. And she like imposed her will on the show.
She
and
sure
that's
did.
The reason that it's good. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that people talk about it mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. is because you had a creator at the top who knew exactly what the F she was doing. I don't know if I can curse on this show, but I won't. Knew exactly what she was doing. And looking back now, I have just unlimited respect for what she accomplished mm-hmm. in making the show work.
Yeah, she stood her ground right away. She dug yeah. her heels in.
But to go back to the question you asked about people on the show, like, I don't really see anybody, you know, like, that was one of the cool things about doing A Year in the Life was like seeing Lauren and Alexis again, who I love and will love forever. Or like, you know, seeing Mike Winters again, who like I always like, like anytime I ever do an interview about Gilmore Girls and people ask me who I like working with the best or whatever, I just feel obligated to bring up Mike Winters because of how hard his job was and how like that dude would just have pages and pages and pages of exposition and played an relatively unlikable character that people that's sort of like, oh, this guy again, you know, and man, you want to talk about being a pro and being old school, like knowing how show business works and coming in and knowing your stuff and like hitting your mark and, and like knocking the ball out of the park every, like, you know, every, or not even, you know, as a baseball guy, like just hitting clean doubles every time, you know, like I just, I love it. I miss all of those. I miss everybody really. Yeah. But I don't see anybody. I know me and Melissa were in Sydney at the same time.
Oh, you know, we just spoke to Yannick and he's over there with her doing God's Favorite Idiot. It's a new, I guess, an HBO thing or something.
Yeah.
He's playing an angel.
But I haven't. Awesome. But I haven't seen her in forever.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask her if she's been able to get work since Gilmore Girls ended. I don't know if she's.
It's a shame what's happened to her. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such a talented girl being overlooked. And it's just
someone. She'll find a job somewhere.
She will. wait a minute. Were you with us that night we went to Groundlings to see her? And they're like season one. Did you come with us? Because we went as a cast.
I went on my own. I went and saw her at Groundlings, like by myself one night. She was like, "Hey, I'm doing the show." I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Right.
And like, I went and saw her perform in Groundlings. And
astounding.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it was astounding.
It's not a surprise, like, you know, now, like, oh yeah, of course, she was amazing.
No,
like,
but I knew she was good because she was in the Groundlings, and you know, they don't mess around over there. I mean, they don't bring you in unless they think you have tremendous upside and tremendous skills. But I wasn't prepared for that. I mean, that was like after that show, my stomach hurt, and then I wanted to call Lauren Michaels and say, "Why isn't this girl on SNL? You know, this is like somebody who can create the content and then act it beautifully. I mean, these characters are gloriously funny. My God." Anyway.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I was not surprised at all when her star started rising. I mean, wasn't surprised.
Okay, I got to be fair here. I wasn't surprised, but I was a little surprised. I was surprised, like, only because of culture, only because of, like, the world that we lived in.
Right.
Like, I wasn't surprised that she had a fantastic career because she's genius. But, like, her becoming a movie star is freaking awesome. Like it's such a great thing that, like, we didn't have movie stars like Melissa McCarthy when I was growing up. And the world was worse for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really mean that. And so, like, it's like if you had said to me, if you had asked me, you know, in whatever, in the middle of Gilmore Girls, if you would ask me in season five, like which one of your castmates is going to be a massive movie star? I would not have called it correctly. And I'm very glad that, I would have been wrong.
I called Yannick Truesdale. He's been a huge disappointment to me. No, I'm kidding.
I thought that Yannick was most likely to be found dead in a gutter somewhere.
No.
Oh,
come on, he's too on top of stuff, man. That guy's like on top of things.
No, he's losing it. You see, I mean, he's first of all, he's looking older. Can we admit he's looking? He looks a full 10 years older than he is.
He's got it. Wait a minute.
Yannick likes to dish it out. He's got to take it back. Nobody dishes it out more than Yannick. He's got to take it back. He'll be fine.
Oh my God. But I actually did call Melissa. You know, I did call from everyone in the cast. I said, that girl's going to break out because of her skill set, because of her comedic skill set, and on top of the fact that she is just naturally funny, like in an interview.
I mean,
I did interviews with her. I mean, I did an interview for early on with ESPN, and we're talking about boxing, and she was hysterical. And she was talking, and she thought I was laughing at her. She got offended. I'm like, what are you talking about? Everything out of your mouth is like hysterically funny.
Oh yeah, she's a killer. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
She's a killer. She's undeniable.
Yeah, she's like Sally Struthers level, like funny. Just talking to her, you know.
Good old Sally. I miss Sally. Those are some of my favorite nights, like my favorite memories. I think from the entire run of the show would be, we'd be doing those scenes in the town hall, you know, and it would be hot and you got to do everybody's coverage and there'd be like 14 people in the scene,
right?
You know,
right.
And it would be on a Friday. So they knew they could go as late as they want. Yep. And we'd be up. It'd be like, okay, when the sun, like hopefully when the sun comes up, we'll wrap, you know? And at some point, Liz Torres and Sally Struthers would get punch drunk.
Right.
And start singing old show tunes and just, you know, Sally would beckon an extra would be sitting on her lap like randomly, or like they just would start holding court and I wish I had a video of one or two of those moments, because man, I missed that.
They saved us so many times. They saved us. You know, that was the thing about working in Burbank in August in 110, 115 degrees, doing those town hall meetings. Man, those were hot days. And every time I was in one of those scenes, and you're in there all day because, you got to get coverage of all those people, like you said, but my God, it was so hot in those tents, and they would tent it off, right, to create nighttime. So at 6 a.m., it was tented off to look like nighttime. And it was just like being inside of, it was like a sauna. It was a steam room, or not a sauna, but it was a steam room.
Yeah.
A big steam room, and you couldn't escape. They pumped in all kinds of AC with these giant tubes, but they would break down. The generators would break down from, you know, working all day, and then they'd have to replace it. But, oh, my God, it was hot. And every time I was in there, we were all sweating because we're in winter clothes, too. Most of the time, we're in winter clothes. It's Connecticut. It's, you know, it's usually winter or fall. And that's when we did a lot of the town meetings. I just kept thinking of all the people that have to work in the hot sun for scut wages, and here I am, you know, pissing and moaning about being sweaty and hot and in winter clothes, but I'm on a hit TV show. Again, it was that sense of community that we all had, because everybody was sweating their brains out. And all, you know, who I felt sorry for the most are the hair and makeup department, because they would have to come in there all the time and wipe us down and dab us down. They couldn't wipe, you know, they'd have to dab us because the makeup, they'd screw up the makeup if they wiped, right? So they'd have to come in there and they'd have their little, you know, those little fans, those tiny little fans, they look like little propellers, and they just hold them up to your face and you're like, oh, thank you. I love you. Thank you. Will you marry me? Thank you. Don't stop. You know what I mean? I mean, it was hot. Have I said it was hot in there? Yeah, it was extraordinarily hot. Anyway, it's a heck of a place to be wearing flannel and spitting out dialogue while the sweat is flying off you. And man, I'll tell you what, we definitely earned our money on those days. That's for sure. Maybe not so much on other days, but on those days we earned our money.
I was working on a thing recently, and it was like, oh man, this show is such a beast. Like we're trying to do 5 pages a day for like whatever weeks or months or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I did a show where we averaged over 10 pages a day, every single day for 7 years.
And those 10 pages really constituted 20 pages on a normal script, because there was twice as much black ink.
People did. Yeah. Like people, anybody who works in show business, you tell them you did over 10 pages a day, every day. It's like, wait, what? That's impossible.
Yeah. I went on Aliens in America and then the event set. And I was like, you know, people are like, gosh, we have a 2-pager today. How are we going to get through it? I said, are you kidding me? This is easy.
Oh yeah, man.
Are you kidding me?
Man, we're out here at 6. I do big movies now. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, we got a 2.5 page scene. So luckily we have 2 full days to shoot it.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
Jesus. Oh my goodness.
You ready for rapid fire? You want to do some rapid fire?
Yeah. Give me some rapid fire.
Ready?
I love it.
Come on. Strap in, man. Ready? All right. How do you take your coffee, bud? Quick.
Coffee?
Yeah. Coffee. How do you take it?
Lots of cold milk, no sugar.
Can you smell snow?
No.
Are you Team Logan, Jess, or Team Dean?
Team Logan.
Wow. That's shocking. Really?
I thought that might stop you in your tracks.
I'm stopped in my tracks right now. Wow.
Yeah, I think that Dean like fetishized Rory a little bit.
Okay.
Like treated her like an object.
Okay.
I think that Jess belittled her a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like would be like a little bit condescending at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Logan, for all his faults as a human being, treated her as an equal, better than the other two did.
Okay. Best memory of Gilmore Girls?
The one I just said, late nights, getting punch drunk, wanting to go home. Everybody's there. Right. We're all like, dicking around.
We're looping, getting loopy.
Yeah.
Favorite Friday night dinner meal?
In real life?
Yes. No, let's both. Let's do Emily's house, because you were invited to a couple dinners, weren't you? Or was it just the one?
I went to one in the reboot.
Okay. What was the meal?
I ate the most disgusting thing they
right.
That they ever had on the show.
Right.
I don't know, in real life, I eat sushi on Friday night, I guess. Go. I don't know.
That's that a boy. I do too, actually. Show you're binge watching right now.
Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. Cast member you texted most recently. I think we know the answer to that.
Well, that's you.
Yes.
But before that, it's Keiko.
Oh, it's Keiko. Okay. Tell us about dealing with the swans.
Here's what I remember about that episode is that I didn't know if I was the same character that I was playing in the first episode that I did, and trying to just fake my way through it. Never asking, am I the same character? Just like trying to like maybe if I keep my mouth shut, I'll figure it out,
uh-huh.
you know? And doing it and sort of playing it like, I think I ultimately did play it as though he was sort of the same character.
Right.
And then I did another episode where I'm like, oh no, I think I have to change this up a little bit.
I have a question about a film by Kirk. Did you ever get offered to do a film based on those films by Kirk, or write and direct or produce a film on any level because of a film by Kirk and that whole series of episodes where you were making these?
No, and when you phrase the question like that, I'm a little annoyed now that I haven't.
You got no offers.
Nah, no offers. What am I? What do I look like? You know, come on. But I do so. That one comes up a lot, and I should like those films, like doing the gosh, that was so much fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah!
Oh my God! That was
my absolute most pleasurable Kirk stuff was those films. Those films were.
Hey, and you didn't ask this question, but my favorite scene that you and I did together was oh man, there's a couple that really, there's two that stick out a lot. But one is the date is Kirk's first date with Lulu.
Okay,
and he's like all nervous about it, and we have this scene where he goes aside to Luke, and it's like when we talk about Ducky from Pretty in Pink, and like I love doing that scene, and I also love doing the scene on the episode that ends with me running naked, where I'm talking the night terror scene, where I'm like, can you please help me with these night terrors? Those are both really some of the best scenes, some of my most fun scenes I ever did.
I don't recall. They were very tender. They were tender scenes, weren't they? Between.
Kind of,
They were, right?
Yeah, Luke kind of was like, okay, I'm going to throw this guy a bone. And,
he wasn't so Luke-y. You know, he was
could
like.
You see Luke had a little bit of a soft spot for Kirk. Like,
right.
Oh, God, this guy's lost.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff. A pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Anytime, my friend.
We will be rattling your cage again.
Again, I'm really sorry about what happened with Yannick. I love Yannick. I really do. Everybody, I'm not gonna. He's like my favorite person to give a hard time because he gives it back double.
All right, anyway, bud, enjoy your Sunday.
You too.
And all the best to you guys and your wife, and all the best, and good luck on the rest of the shoot. And we'll talk to you soon, pal. Okay.
All right, man.
All right, thanks. Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, is he not great? Is this guy not just filled with smarts and perspective and what a great guy. Wow. Love talking to him. Guess what, guys? We talked for so long because we just lost track of the time. When Sean Gunn enters a room, something happens. There's a vortex. There's a vacuum, something good. And you lose the sense of time. We ran really, really long. So we're going to make a second episode out of it. So what do you think of that? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because we haven't even started talking about Kill Me Now.
Right.
So, okay, how should we do this? All right, so we're going to end this episode, mm-hmm. and then in like a day or 2 days,
we're going to drop,
or maybe when you're listening to this, it'll be there now.
Right.
We'll have another episode recapping Kill Me Now.
Yeah. So we went so long, we're going to drop another episode a couple days after this one. Recapping Kill Me Now. Okay. Cause we just went so long with Sean. You can talk I could talk to that guy, and I have, I've been at the hotel bar and talking to him for hours. So fascinating guy. And just look out for that second episode. And if you guys subscribe now, okay. You'll get an alert when that second episode is going to drop. Okay. So get on it, get on that subscribe button. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.